Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. We continue with my verse-by-verse expository teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We are still in Luke, chapter 10, which is a very lengthy chapter. We pick it up here today in verse 25. Hopefully, you have listened to the previous session. I had talked about the Lord Jesus teaching us that salvation or having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life is priority. It takes precedence over overcoming demons and overcoming trials in this life. So hopefully you have listened to that session. Let us proceed here. So the gist of these upcoming verses is we will learn about the parable of the Good Samaritan, a very popular parable of Jesus Christ with a profound message of love, true God's kind of love. So let us get into these verses and we will talk about this and learn a lot from the Lord. Okay, Luke 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, expert of the law, referring to the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. Now, this man is gonna come and try to test Jesus Christ. How foolish. Jesus Christ, the wisest man who ever existed, would turn this thing around and instead put this man to the test. Let us find out. Teacher, the man said, he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, what is written in the law? I just love the way the Lord Jesus asks him a question. Have you noticed that a lot of times in the ministry of Jesus Christ, when people ask him questions, he would turn around and ask them a question? You know why? He wants people to think about what they are asking, to ponder on it. And also he wants to use that as an opportunity for teaching us. Okay, so now the Lord Jesus turned around and asked this man a question. He replied, this is the Lord Jesus again, how do you read it? Wow, that's amazing. The Lord Jesus is asking this man, how do you read the law? Wow, as I said, giving this man an opportunity to ponder about his questions, and again the Lord Jesus would use that to teach us some life's lessons here. He answered, this is the man now, we are in verse 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, this man was actually quoting out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5, which I had discussed right here in this podbean. So if you want to learn more about this, go back and listen to my Old Testament teaching. This is also stated in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Okay, so this man had quoted Leviticus 19, verse 18, and Deuteronomy 6, 5. Let us find out how the Lord Jesus would respond. We are now in verse 28. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. I just love it. The Lord is like, okay, well, you already know. Just go live it out, and then you would inherit eternal life. Okay, but he wanted to justify himself. So this man who came to test Jesus wasn't satisfied. He wanted to justify himself why he would not obey God's law. And so he asked Jesus, so this man asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, friend, I'm laughing at this man here because he was just trying to test God. But I am so glad that this man asked Jesus this question, who is my neighbor? Because we are about to learn a major lesson here, how to treat and live with one another. So the Lord Jesus, we are now in verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, now, the Lord Jesus is about to teach on the parable of the Good Samaritan here in verse 30. But before we get into this parable, let me go over a few key elements in this parable just to lay the foundation. Again, a parable is just an illustration used to teach spiritual or moral lesson. So the Lord Jesus would use this story as an illustration to teach us some basic and powerful spiritual and moral lessons. So this parable has three key elements or operatives, if you will. The first one is a priest, or the priest who was supposed to represent God's law, okay? And back then you would have several priests that would serve at the temple, and they would take rounds serving God at the temple of God. So this priest was supposed to represent the law of God, obviously the Old Testament law given to the man Moses. And then the next operative here is a Levite, who were responsible to maintain the temple. They were in charge of worship. And the Levites was the priestly tribe where the priests were to come from. And the third person or operative in this parable is a Samaritan, who represents Christ Jesus himself, the love of God. So those are the three key people or operatives in this parable. And the main message here is a demonstration of God's kind of love, which is agape love, okay? With regards to more of God's kind of love, agape love has to do with unconditional love, that as we allow the love of God to fill us, as we allow and receive God's love, we are able to reach out to others in unconditional love. And God's kind of love, as discussed more in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can go there and learn more about that. God's kind of love is kind, it is patient, it is not self-seeking, it protects, it does not boast. So we are about to learn about agape love, which is unconditional love. You accept people for who they are, because that is how God accepts people. Yet God in his love would want to change people so people can become the best he has created them to be. So we are not to judge people, we are not to see people any other way except through the lens of God, because each human being is created in the image of God, and God is love, and God is there to help transform us to the best us. So God's kind of love, just reach out in love, is not emotionally based, it's action driven. It's a love that reach out in compassion to help others. It's a love that goes beyond our own selfish needs to meet the needs of others. Is a love that is demonstrated by action. So that is what is called agape love in a nutshell, and we are about to see that here in operation. Okay, so with that brief background here about this parable, let us get into these verses and learn from the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth, friends. I'm glad you are with me today. You know, I want to remind you that God is a giver, right? I'm sure you are aware of that. Likewise, God wants us to bless his work. So, as you have been blessed by these teachings, I ask that you open your heart and bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more of these teachings and pay for studio time, because our heart desire is to reach more people. We don't want finances to limit God's work, but God depends on you, his children, to give back into his work so we can do more and reach many, many more people about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and allows these teachings to transform their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches clearly that God loves a cheerful giver. So today, would you consider being a cheerful giver? Because God is going to be certain that you are blessed abundantly. Okay, here is what the Lord says out of 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. I want to read this to you so you're encouraged to give, because it will be a blessing to you. Let's go over this. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That is a promise, friend. As you give into God's work, as you bless us with your financial donation, especially as we know these teachings are blessing you, and you stand on God's promises, such as what we just went over, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. God is faithful. God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. You're going to enjoy the peace of God. You're going to just have a sense of joy knowing that you're partaking in God's work and spreading the gospel and transforming lives. God will bless you back. So friend, open your heart to give into this ministry so we can reach more people. So here are some ways you can donate. We have a very safe and secure website. All you need is internet access and you can donate anywhere across the globe. Here is that address, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And if you live here in the USA, we do receive donations through Zelle. Here is that Zelle telephone number, 909-501-9031. Again, that number again is 909-501-9031. And then we accept donations through Cash App. And the address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Friend, I thank you in advance for opening your heart to give into God's work so we can pay for studio time and produce more teachings to bless many others and spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We thank you in advance. And you can be certain that God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So here is the teaching. So I pick it up here in verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. And historians tell us that that trip was about 17 miles. And historically, it was a very treacherous and dangerous trip because a lot of robbers or thieves would hide in the bushes to attack people. So that is the scene here. So going back there, just to repeat the last sentence there. So this man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Amazing. Remember, I mentioned the priest was supposed to administer the law of God. He was supposed to represent God. Wow. He was supposed to be a representative of God. And who is God? God is love. Who is God? God is compassionate and God is kind. But we see how this priest avoided this situation when on the other side. Wow. Let's move on here. Already, we are just learning that calling yourself a priest, a Bible teacher, a minister, a Christian, doesn't mean you have the revelation of the love of God, doesn't mean you represent God. Okay, let's move on. So this priest went right by, he passed by on the other side. We are now in verse 32. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. So the Levite, who also represented God, and as I mentioned earlier, they were responsible to work at the temple of God. They were in charge of worship and other duties in the temple. The Levite ignored this man who was attacked and left for dead. Again, they showed no evidence of God in them. They showed no true evidence of their calling to serve God, because when we are serving God, primarily, we have to allow the love of God to flow through us to reach out to others. So we see how these two men took no action. They did not express love. Why? Number one, it could be that they were afraid, because as I mentioned earlier, historians tell us that trip was very dangerous. Maybe they were afraid and they were more concerned about their own safety than that of the man who was dying. Not good. Mm-hmm. Number two, it could just be that they were so concerned about trying to get to the temple to serve God that they ignored the basic need of their fellow man. Even though God had told them the law of Moses, as I had just explained in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, how to care for one another, how to love your fellow human beings, how to express that love. But we see how these religious workers, priests and Levites, today we would say pastors and priests or Bible teachers, really just ignore the need of another human being. Wow, even though these verses don't tell us, but many Bible scholars were thinking or are thinking that they were just involved with trying to go work for God. But that was work for God right there. And they failed the test. Friend, we have to be careful that we don't allow our religious duties prevent us from helping those who are in front of us. We need to be careful that serving God is meeting the basic needs of people, beginning with your family, your inner circle, and then outwardly. It's not just when we go to church. It's not just when I come here, I preach or I teach the Bible. It's meeting the need of the person that comes to me that they need help. That is what God values most, because that is true love of God and that's true compassion. So friend, let me just speak to you. Just know that act of kindness that you show towards your neighbor, that act of kindness that you show towards your employee or employer is more valuable to God than what you can imagine. It's more valuable to God than trying to go engage in some religious activities or trying to go volunteer for God. If we cannot help people, why are we going to volunteer for God? Are you getting this? Wow. Okay, let us move on here and see what the Lord Jesus would teach us. We are now in verse 33, but a Samaritan, let me pause here. In the previous session, I believe in Luke chapter 9, title part D, I discussed the tension between the Samaritan and the Jews. So please go back and re-listen to that. So here we see a Samaritan, I'm back in verse 33, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. So we see a Samaritan. This is amazing. Just in case you have not listened to that session, I explained how the Jews hated the Samaritans because the Samaritans had intermarried with non-Jews. The Samaritans were considered by the Jews to be pagans, and the Jews wanted absolutely nothing to do with the Samaritans. So they had this intense, deep religious hatred for one another. But here we see a Samaritan expressing the love of God. We see a Samaritan reaching out in God's compassion and pity towards a man who was left to die. So now we are in verse 34. He, referring to the Samaritan, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him up to an inn, and took care of him. We see a classic example of God's compassion, agape love in operation, right here. This Samaritan didn't care about the risk that he put himself in, meaning, as I mentioned earlier, this route was known to be packed with thieves and robbers. This route was a treacherous route where thieves would hide. This Samaritan showed selfless love. He didn't care about his own safety. He would not go past this man who was in need. He stopped by to help this man. This is true agape love, which I had described. It is selfless. Wow, we see that in operation. You know, I know some of you are thinking, well, what if I go help somebody, I put myself in risk? No, when you go in God's kind of love, God will protect you. That is the answer right there. Agape love is selfless. You cannot think about yourself and want to help somebody else. You have to just allow God to do it through you. And when God is doing it through you, He will protect you. You would be fine. Okay? So we are now in verse 36. The next day, he, referring to the Samaritan, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. This is awesome. This Samaritan went the extra mile and gave his word, which was like a written contract for the innkeeper to care for this man who had been beaten by the thieves, that whatever cost it took to care for this man, he would take care of that. Isn't that God, the God we serve, who goes an extra mile to care for us? Who goes an extra mile to reveal himself to us? Can you do that for somebody today? Do you go an extra mile to tell someone you care for them? Or do you just do it when it's convenient? Do you go that extra mile to show the world that Jesus Christ died for them? Do you? Or do you just, you don't care? You know, God is looking for active followers, wholehearted, genuine followers, who are willing to die to their own selfish needs and allow Him to walk through them. Are you one of those? I just hope that you can set your heart and see how much you allow God to flow through you to help others. And stop thinking. The Spirit is telling me right now. Some of you are thinking, oh, I can't do it. I don't have the ability to. Yes, you do as a Christian. All you have to do is say, Lord, love this person through me. Lord, I want to help, but I cannot do it on my own ability. Do it through me. That's what we are supposed to do. Because without receiving God's love, you can't give it. So you have to open your heart to receive God's love for you first and then allow that love to flow through you. Don't figure it out. You're not going to feel God's love. God is love. God does not give love. God is love. So to receive that love, you open up your heart by faith and you just tell yourself that I receive God's love. The love of God is working through me. God loves me. It's not how you feel, it's the absolute truth. When you start to tell yourself that God loves you and you start to tell yourself that you are receiving and walking in the love of God, you're going to start believing it. And your actions will begin to change. That's how you do it, okay? In Jesus' name. Okay, so moving on. Verse 36, which of these now? The Lord Jesus had told this parable and then he is about to ask a question. Here is the question. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? This is so awesome. This expert of the law had come to test Jesus and told the Lord Jesus, who is my neighbor? The Lord Jesus used this illustration to describe who your neighbor is, and then he just rounded the whole thing with that question. I love it. And that question again was, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Verse 37, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Exactly. Already we're learning a practical principle here, which I have been saying. Who is your neighbor? It's whoever is in front of you who has a need. That's it right there. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying. So your neighbor in this story and in the realities of life is not just pertaining to your physical neighbor in your house. It also means that it's not just referring to your neighbor at your workplace. It also refers to that. But the Lord Jesus just defined who your neighbor is so broadly that it's anyone who is in front of you who needs help. Again, it could be your neighbor where you live. It could be your coworker. You could be walking down the street. You meet somebody who needs help. That is your neighbor. Period. Did you get that? Bottom line is whoever needs help, who is in front of you. So that is the definition of neighbor here. So the Lord Jesus told the expert to go and do likewise. Likewise, as we have been talking about this story, we have to do likewise to allow the love of God to flow through us so we can help whoever is in front of us, who needs help. And this help is not just financial. It's not even as detailed as this story here in the Good Samaritan. It could be somebody who just needs a word of encouragement. Mm-hmm. It could be somebody that you know, that you see at the workplace whose face is downcasted, meaning they appear sad, they appear worried. You as a child of God, that is an opportunity to reach out in compassion and love to just encourage that person. A lot of times people just need a word of encouragement that God loves you. God understands it's going to be okay. God is in control. Boy, there are times when I have just been through so much spiritual warfare that I've had people just send me a text, I'm praying for you. That alone was sufficient for me to just feel so loved by God. It is as simple as that, friends. These things are not difficult. In fact, a lot of times people don't even need money. They need hope and encouragement. Those priceless benefits that only God can give through us. Okay, moving on to the next upcoming verses. We are now in verse 38. We are going to learn from the Lord Jesus how to prioritize our lives. Okay, we are getting into the story of Martha and Mary. Verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Whoa, I love it. Just picture this. Just picture this in your mind. You have two sisters. One is just all over the place and one was so wise. One was like, I'm taking advantage of this. I'm just going to relax and sit and listen to the teacher. Oh, man, so important. Let us find out what the Lord Jesus would teach us about this encounter. So we are now in verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Martha came to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Amazing picture here. Martha, busybody. So anxious, wanting to get everything perfect for the Lord Jesus. Isn't that how some of us are? We have an event going on at church. We are so busy making sure everything is perfect. We forget to slow down to hear that still voice of God. We forget to slow down to pray about the event. Yet, we forget. And we just keep going, and we get exhausted. That's what's happening here with Martha. Martha was so anxious, so busy trying to entertain Jesus that Mary was so wise. Mary is like, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. I'm going to just relax and listen. Ooh, I love it. So Martha now got upset, probably jealous, that why is Mary just relaxing and I am here doing all the work? You know, the most amazing thing about this story, no one told Martha to be busying herself around. She just did it. Isn't that how we are? We get so busy and then we say, God, why am I so busy? God didn't ask you to. That's your decision. But the Lord Jesus is going to teach us something here about busyness. It takes us nowhere. Okay, moving on. So the Lord Jesus is going to respond to Martha in verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Glory to God. I just love it. The Lord Jesus is like, Martha, you're worrying yourself for nothing. One thing is needed. Relax, listen to me, slow down, hear me. That is what is necessary, and I won't take it away from her. Friend, do you busy yourself about things in the church? Do you busy yourself about things during events? One thing is needful. Slowing down. Slowing down. Listening to that still voice of God. Listening to that still voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, busyness is Satan's weapon to distract us from the things of God. Did you get that? I'm going to repeat this. Somebody needs to hear this. Busyness is Satan's weapon to distract us from the things of God. There is no busyness in the Bible. In fact, God discourages that as we are learning here. All this busyness doesn't mean you're productive. Busyness doesn't mean you are effective. You know what's effective? Listening to the voice of God, spending time with God. That is what the Lord Jesus is pointing out here should be the priority. The more we spend time with God, the more we are better equipped to manage our time. Because when we spend time with God, God will give us the wisdom, the strength, and the ability to engage in the day wisely versus just being a busybody going all over the place, walking in the name of the Lord. God says, no, the busyness has to stop. Spend time with me. So the message here is the Lord Jesus is saying the priority is quality time spent in his presence. Did you get that? Quality time spent in his presence and not running around like a chicken with a head off saying we're busy. Busy doing what? Working for God? No, busyness is not of God, it's of the devil. Quality time with God is what leads to fruitfulness in God's kingdom. I hope you received that in Jesus' name. This brings us to the end of chapter 10 here in the Gospel of Luke. So what is a key principle and applications here? Number one, agape love. I've talked about that over and over. Just to summarize, you have to receive God's love in faith. God is love. And as you receive God's love, you allow God to flow through you so you can love others. Number two, we talked about busyness is not of God. We talked about quality time with God is what the Lord Jesus is saying. It's effective and it's fruitful. So friend, today, the key application here is if you've not yet cultivated a habit of allowing God to flow through you so you can reach out to others in love, start today. Take little steps. Just reach out to somebody and encourage them. When you go to work tomorrow, just be vigilant. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and help you to be sensitive to your surroundings. And if there's a need that you perceive, meet that need through prayer for somebody. Encouraging somebody with a word. As you do that, the love of God would flood your heart. You would be so joyful. That is when you would truly start enjoying God's peace, God's joy, and God's love. Because as you give to others, God will be certain that you yourself, you receive. Okay? And again, quality time with God is a priority. If you have not made it a habit or a lifestyle to spend time with God every day, the Lord Jesus has been teaching us that that has to be a priority. Friend, as you spend time with God, don't worry about, I can hear some of you saying that, oh, I don't have time. Yes, you do. Each of us has 24 hours a day. You have to make a priority, cultivate the habit of spending time with God. You can start with little 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20. As you spend more time with God, you will start to enjoy that time. You will start to become more sensitive to the voice of God. And as you walk away from that time with God, you will be better prepared and equipped to engage in your day with wisdom. Spending time with God is critical, and I recommend you spend time with God first thing in the morning upon awakening. You call upon God, you thank Him, you spend time with God to seek His will for you on that day and to seek His guidance and direction. That can only happen as you prioritize, you seek to spend time with God, as we are learning that the Lord Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen wisely. Hopefully you can choose wisely to make God your priority as you spend time with Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the practical lessons we've learned about being a good Samaritan. Thank you for the lessons we've learned today, how to reach out to others in compassion and love. We thank you, Father God, for these lessons. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be men and women who reach out to others in God's kind of love as we allow God to walk through us. We want to do your will. Help us to do this, God. And help us to be men and women who prioritize to spend time in your presence every day so we can pull strength, wisdom, and energy. That way we are more effective throughout our day. Thank you, God, for helping us with these endeavors. Thank you for answering this prayer. For I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody who agrees says, Amen. God loves you.
So as you proceed with your day today, remember that God is with you, always, enabling you to overcome in Jesus' name. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and bye for now.